How to Bring Men to Christ by R.A. Torrey. Chapter 9. Dealing with the Complaining. 1. Those who complain of God. Many that you wish to lead to Christ will say something to the effect that God is unjust and cruel. Job chapter 40 verse 2 and Romans chapter 9 verse 20 are very pointed passages to use with inquirers of this class and need no comment. It might be well to preface the reading of the passages with some remark like this. Do you know of how enormous a sin you are guilty in accusing God of being unjust and cruel? Let me read what God says about it in His own word. Then read the passages. Romans chapter 11 verse 33 will serve to show the complaining that the reason God's ways seem unjust and cruel is because they are so deep and unsearchable, and that the trouble is not with God's ways, but the limitation of their understanding. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, 7, 10, and 11 are especially useful in cases where the inquirer complains because of his own misfortunes or sorrows. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 will oftentimes prove helpful. Not infrequently you will meet with one who will say that God is unjust to create men and then damn them. Turn such a one to Ezekiel verse chapter 23, verse 11. This passage meets this complaint by showing that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desires their welfare, and that the wicked bring damnation upon themselves in their stubborn refusal to repent. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 shows that God, so far from creating man to damn him, desires that all men be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 teaches that God is not willing that any should perish, and that is delaying His purposes in order that all may come to repentance. John chapter 5, verse 40 and Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 show that the whole cause of man's damnation is his own willful and persistent refusal to come to Christ. John chapter 3, verse 36 and 3:16 are also helpful in many cases. Number 2. Those who complain of the Bible. Men will oftentimes say, the Bible is contradictory and absurd, or the Bible seems foolish to me. Two classes of passages can be used in dealing with such inquirers. A. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 1 Corinthians 2:14, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, Daniel 12:10, Romans 11:33 verse 33 and 34, and in extreme cases, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10-12. B. John chapter 7, 17, Psalms 25, verse 14, Matthew 11, 25. See remarks under serious-minded skeptics and skeptics who are triflers. Sometimes the best thing to do with a man who says the Bible is full of contradictions is to hand him your Bible and ask him to show you one. In most cases, he will not be able to do it, as people who complain about the Bible, as a rule, know nothing about its contents. One day, a man was brought to me to deal with, and when I asked him why he was not a Christian, he replied, "The Bible is full of contradictions." I at once asked him to show me one. "Oh," he said, "it's full of them." I said, "If it is full of them, you ought to be able to show me one." He said, "Well, there is one in Psalms." I said, "Show it to me." He commenced looking in the back of the New Testament for the book of Psalms. I said, "You are not looking in the right part of the Bible for Psalms. Let me find it for you." I found it in the book of Psalms and handed it to him. After fumbling around, he said, "I could find it if I had my own Bible here." "Well," I said, "will you bring your Bible tonight?" He promised he would, and agreed to meet me at a certain place in the church. The appointed hour came, and he did not. Some months afterwards, in another series of meetings in the same church, one of the workers stopped me and said, "Here's a man I wish you would deal with. He is a skeptic." I looked at him and recognized him as the same man. "Oh," I said, "are you the man that lied to me here?" And with much confusion, he admitted that he was, but he was still playing his old game of saying that the Bible is full of contradictions. In 9 cases out of 10, men who say this know nothing about the Bible. And when you ask them to show you a contradiction in the Bible, they are filled with confusion. Number 3. Those who complain of God's way of salvation. A great many men will say, "I do not see why God could not save men in some other way than by the death of His Son." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, Romans 11, 33 are useful in dealing with such. I have used Romans chapter 9, verse 20 with effect with men of this sort. A young student said to me one night, when I asked why he was not a Christian, that he did not see why it was necessary for Christ to die for him, why God did not save him in some other way. I opened my Bible and read to him Romans chapter 9, verse 20, and put the question right to him, "Who art thou that repliest against God?" And then said to him, "Do you realize what you are doing, that you are condemning God?" The young man, very much confused, said, "I did not mean to do that." "Well," I said, "that is what you are doing." "If that is so," he replied, "I will take it back." A good way to do with such men is to show them by the use of passages given under the chapter dealing with the indifferent that they are lost sinners. When anyone is led to see this, God's way of salvation will approve itself as just the thing. Number 4, those who complain of Christians. Very frequently when we try to persuade men to accept Christ as their Savior, they reply, "There are too many hypocrites in church." Romans chapter 14, verse 4 and 12, especially the latter verse, are exceedingly effective in dealing with such. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and Matthew 7, 1 through 5 are also excellent. John chapter 21, verse 21 through 22 is useful in showing the objector that he is solely responsible for his own relation to Christ, and that what others do is none of his affairs. Sometimes the inquirer will complain of the way Christian people have treated him. In such a case, turn the attention of the inquirer from the way in which Christian people have treated him to the way in which God has treated him. For this purpose, use Jeremiah 2, 5, Isaiah 53, 5, Romans 5, 6 through 8. Then ask him if the fact that Christians have treated him badly is any excuse for his treatment of a Heavenly Father who has treated him so well. One night, turning to an aged man, I asked him if he was a Christian. He replied that he was not, that he was a backslider. I asked him why he had backslid. He replied that Christian people had treated him badly. I opened my Bible and read Jeremiah 2:5 to him. Quote, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and now become vain?" Unquote. I said, "Did you find any iniquity in God? Did God not use you well?" With a good deal of feeling, the man admitted that God had not treated him badly, and I held him right to his point of God's treatment of him, and not man's treatment, and his treatment of God. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23-25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30-32. Matthew 6, verse 14-15 are also useful in showing the absolute necessity of our forgiving men.